As a parent, I want people to have high expectations within the context of the warm and fuzzies. And you have to have both of those things, the interaction between both of those things, in order to have the best developmental outcomes for your kids.
Welcome to the Generation Youth Podcast, where we ignite the future by empowering our youth. I'm James McLam, your host, founder, and CEO of Generation Youth, and the author of the best-selling book, Tomorrow's Youth. Whether you're a parent, an educator, youth pastor, or coach, join us as we dive into the pressing issues facing our young people today. Together, we'll unlock the strategies, insights, and inspiration to elevate and equip our next generation. Stay with us, and let's make a difference. One youth at a time. Welcome to the Generation Youth Podcast for another exciting episode. I am James McLam, your host. I am here today with my new friend, Andrea Matta. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It is a great day to be alive. It's supposed to be 60 today in Northwest Ohio, February 26th. I will take that.
Well, you're a little bit warmer, actually, than we are in North Carolina. What? Or you're pretty much on track for the same thing. So that's kind of odd, you know, because we're in the South. It's called false spring. Winter will reach back and grab us and pull us back pretty soon.
I hope not.
Well, I am really excited for our conversation today. I actually, in anticipation for the conversation that we're going to have, talk to my wife about some of these topics and community. You'll get to see why. But before we start, our audience loves to hear from our guests to introduce themselves instead of just hearing from me. So if you wouldn't mind, take a couple minutes and share your story with our Generation Youth community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Andrea Matta. Some of my closest friends call me Dr. Dre, mostly because they cannot pronounce my name correctly. My big story, so I'm a clinical child psychologist, and I specialize in the treatment of antisocial and aggressive behaviors in our youth. And how I got interested in that topic, I still remember when I was in grad school, it's my first or second year, and I told people like that I really wanted to do research on like antisocial and aggressive youth. And this woman, she was a much older woman, she was just auditing the class. She looks at me and she goes, "Why would you want to work with that population?" And I was like, "Those are like my kids. Like those are the kinds I love working with." And the reason, because like, and there's a real passion that I have with them. And the reason for that was when I was 11 years old, my brother was murdered by someone who he considered a friend. And you fast forward 2 years, I'm in a courtroom and I'm sitting between my parents. And we're waiting for the judge to sentence the man who murdered my brother, you know, what his sentence is going to be. And I remember the judge, so I'm 13, the judge is sitting there. He comes in, he sits there, he looks at my parents and me, he pauses, takes his really deep breath and goes, "I'm not going to sentence this man to death. Not because of moral or professional objections against the death penalty, but because this man had a rough life, because this man's life was full, his childhood was full of a dysfunctional family, one that included like psychological abuse, physical abuse, neglect, all those kind of things. Talk about adverse childhood experiences." And so the judge was like, "He had a rough life, so we're not going to give him the death penalty." And I remember sitting there flabbergasted and I was like, "What do you mean? Like, he doesn't get the death penalty?" And it's not about the death penalty, but still, like, what do you mean? Like, someone had a rough life? And so then from that moment on, I had my never again moment. Like, never again would someone be able to use this excuse of a rough life to kind of justify their bad choices. And so that's why I went on to study and become a clinical child psychologist, to try to help kids in those kind of situations who are coming from dysfunctional families not make as poor of choices as this guy did, all because they had a rough life. So I was a professor for 9 years. Then I quit. That was really, you know, some people are like, that you quit a job you could never be fired from. I was like, yeah, but I really feel pulled to this mission. And so I started Bright Spot Families, where the mission is to fortify families and teach people individual coping skills, relationship skills, and parenting skills, which if you look kind of over the shoulder right there is my newly released book called The Number Two Parenting Book, Practical Tips for the Pooped Out Parent. It actually hit number one on Amazon for child discipline. So I was pretty excited about that. So that's me kind of in a nutshell. I'm doing my part to try to help American youth not have that excuse of a rough life to explain their bad choices.
Well, I got to say that the title of your book is really a great hook. The Number Two Parenting Book. It's just so intriguing. You want to go to it. It's like, well, why is it number two? What does that mean? So I love that.
Most people think it's my second book. And then I tell them like, no, it's my first book. And they're like, but why is it the number two? I'm like, because it's practical tips and the time it takes you to poop. And they're like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm like, the number
two. That
is
even better. That's even better.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, when you and I were talking before and we were discussing what conversation, the topic of parental burnout came up. And that really lit me up because I was like, I'm seeing that a lot. But for our audience that may have heard that term and really doesn't understand maybe what that is, what is parental burnout?
Yeah. So, I mean, ever since COVID hit, we keep hearing this term burnout, right? Mm-hmm. We hear about physicians burnout, and usually the term comes out in when it comes to our careers and our work. But what parental burnout is when the expectations and the responsibilities you have as a parent outweigh your resources.
Ooh.
So then you start to feel exhausted, or you feel yourself disengaging from your children and not wanting to engage with them as much as you typically would because you just can't with all of the responsibilities and expectations that are put on parents in our society.
Would you mind repeating the very first statement you said about the resources thing? Because that was powerful. I love the succinctness of that definition.
So it's when the expectations and responsibilities of being a parent outweigh your resources.
That's almost like that's a formula for me. I can see that with the, mm-hmm.
The
formula, mm-hmm. looking for that. So why does it happen? What causes this? You know, what is going on there?
I think one big thing is that our society puts a lot of pressure on parents. Like, you're supposed to like do all the things for your kids, and you're supposed to put them in all of these activities, and you're supposed to chaperone them, and you're supposed to have like these $30,000 birthday parties.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to like chaperone their school trips and their field trips. And oh, and by the way, you're also supposed to work like 40 to 45 hours a week and have a completely clean house and do all the laundry and this and that. And there's just so many expectations put on parents nowadays that are not actually in the best interest of one, the parents, or two, the kids. And so, but if you look at it, it's 5.5 million Americans are struggling with parental burnout.
Wow. That high?
5.5.
Well, probably. That's probably underestimated, I would guess.
I didn't mean to say that high.
Now that I think about it, yeah.
Yeah.
Does it lean towards more moms, or, you know, the percentage higher for moms? I mean, that's my immediate thought when you were going through some of that, you know, what causes of it, that it kind of leaned towards moms.
Yeah, I would, like, I don't know exactly what the research would, but that would be my guess, is that moms tend to have much more parental burnout compared to dads, just because the expectations for women are so high. I actually deliver this awesome workshop called Audaciously Imperfect, and it's geared towards women, talking about all of these expectations that are placed on women in our society to be perfect.
Wow. You got my mind going in a lot of different directions. So my mind's got to settle down. Next question. So how is someone going to know that they're really in this burnout stage versus just being tired. Because I could see maybe a differentiation, you know, during a season of life or during a time period where, hey, I'm tired, but I'm not burnt out. You know, how can they tell the difference between what's going on?
The first thing I would say, so one, there's assessments for it. So like you could Google like parental burnout assessment. I'm actually going to probably take like the leading parental burnout assessment and kind of like jazz it up a little bit because it's very academic and then like make it available on my website. But that's probably like a few weeks out. So there's that one. But I think like how I describe it in the book is I talk about like, if you feel like you just can't, like that feeling. And I think it's hard to describe, but I think a lot of people know what I'm talking about, where it's like, you just can't, or you don't want to. It's like, you're usually very engaged with your kids and they're like, hey, let's play, you know, Monopoly. And you're like, usually like, you're like, yes, let's play Monopoly. And then this time you're like, oh my God, I just can't. Like, I can't do that right now. And it's like, you're finding yourself disengaging by like going on your phone or looking through social media or like spending more time outside of the home just because you don't want to have to deal with those expectations and responsibilities of being at home.
But is there a it seems like there might be a next level of that moves into maybe depression or something more serious. Am I on the right track there? Because when I'm sitting there, I'm thinking there's like tears, you know, tired, then burnout, and then something even bigger.
Yeah, I think if you don't address the burnout, if you don't learn how to, one, prevent it, which is actually the best way to treat or deal with burnout. If you don't learn how to prevent it, and then if you don't know how to navigate it or cope with it or treat it once it comes in, then I think if you have it for extended times, then you're going to start to see more of like a depressive episode start to come in. Mm. Or some people might describe it as like a midlife crisis or other kind of things that might come into play.
I imagine that parental burnout has a lot of impact on someone's mental health as well. So what are some of those impacts that they have, you know, some caution signs or something that we can give our audience so they can know, hey, I need to address this? Because I can see a lot of people wanting to be self-dependent, you know, self-sufficient. Hey, I can handle this, but if we can maybe show them if they don't address it, this is where it could go. So or some of those impacts.
So I think one impact is like that depression piece that comes in. Another piece that comes in, I think, is like poor or negative self-talk, where you start to believe that you are failing as a parent, or you start to question like, hey, should I have even become a parent? Because you're like, you have all this negative self-talk where it's like, should I have even become a parent? Because I don't even want to spend time with my kids. And it's not that you're a terrible parent. It just means that you need one of the treatments or one of the prevention strategies of preventing parental burnout. Doesn't mean that you're a bad parent. It just means you're going through something right now and we need to kind of deal with it in an appropriate way.
So let's talk about the treatment then. If they feel like they've done some self-assessment, or maybe they saw someone who helped them on this, what are some of the treatments that they could use to help get through this, that they're getting through this? Because when we first started, the very first image that came to my mind on burnout is that movie with Michael Douglas from several years ago. I can't even remember the name of it, but when he was his car, it was hot July or hot day, summer day in Los Angeles, and he gets fired from his job and he goes ballistic and he ends up shooting a lot of people and stuff. I thought it was called burnout, but it's not, but it's something similar to that. So we don't want them to go to that extreme. Okay.
No.
So how can we treat them? So they're not, you know, Michael Douglas walking through a park, randomly engaging with people. So
if you find yourself, like I mentioned before, like if the best way to address parental burnout is to try to prevent it. And so what I usually encourage moms and dads, all parents to do, is to practice 30 minutes a day of like self-care, rejuvenation, something that you want to do. So for 30 minutes a day, you do something that you want to do where you don't have any responsibilities. So for me, it's reading a book, walking, working out. Those are like my go-to kind of 30-minute activities. A lot of the time I hear people, when I hear tell parents this, they'll tell me like, I don't have 30 minutes a day. And my thing is like, your family can't afford for you not to take 30 minutes a day to invest in your mental health. And so sometimes we need to get strategic, and it doesn't necessarily have to be, ideally, I would like it to be 30 minute periods, but if it can be 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 10 minutes another part, like we need to be doing things to invest in our mental health. So that's the best way to try to prevent parental burnout. Now, if you find yourself being in a burned out state, and maybe you take that assessment and then you realize, oh, like I'm burned out, like I'm in it. Like in the book, the last chapter, the last practical tip is all on parental burnout. And I kind of talk about like how I know when I'm experiencing parental burnout. How I treat that is I call it a parentcation. So either a momcation or a dadcation, where for 40, and this is my ideal, for 48 hours, the parent is completely relieved of all responsibilities. And they get 48 hours to do what they want to do. They get to eat what they want to eat when they want to eat it. They get to watch what they want to watch. They get to do what they want to do. They get to sleep and nap if they want to sleep. Like they get to do whatever. And so I suggest at least once a year for like 48 hours, every parent should be relieved of all parental, all responsibilities.
Last week, my wife and I were discussing when our children were young and where we were in life at that point. And the time of the year that all of our children happened to be born in was actually the busiest time for me at that point in time. I was getting up early. I was coming home late. There was like a 2.5 month window. And I knew this going in every year, this was going to be a time. And God said, hey, I'm going to stick a child being born during that time as well. Plus one year I tore an Achilles. So I was on crutches the whole time during that process. And we were talking about, well, you know, you weren't helping a lot during that time. And I was getting, you know, burned out as well. And I'm like, well, I couldn't help a lot of that time because I was coming home, you know, and having to turn around and get up so early with this. And if we'd have heard this, this might could have helped tremendously on this.
And because if you would have known that, like, hey, for this 2.5 months, we get burned out, like you could have then been strategic and planned 48 hours for you and then 48 hours for your wife. So that like your like stress would have been completely depleted, right? Wow. You would have came in all anew and then you guys would have been able to conquer that 2.5 months, probably better than you guys going into it.
Where were you 20 years ago? Come on, Doc. I needed to hear this 20 years ago. The McLam house needed this 20 years ago.
Think of how many families need to hear it now. I can't help the McLambs, but I can help now the parents.
Well, you know, one thing that I thought of when you were talking about this is, unfortunately, there's going to be parents, especially moms, I'm anticipating this, that are going to say, I still can't do this. But I have noticed that they get greater motivation when they see the effect on their child. So could you elaborate on how burnout can affect the child? Because that could be a motivator to someone listening. They could say, I can still handle this. I can still go through. I'm self-sufficient. It's not that bad. I'm just like James said, I'm tired. I'm not really burned out. But if we could show them it doesn't only affect you, but maybe how it affects, well, let's just go in both directions, how it affects their spouse and how it affects their children. That might could help someone get off the couch and, you know, seek some preventive treatment.
So the number two parenting book, the whole philosophy that leads that is what I talk about. Like as a parent, I want people to have high expectations within the context of the warm and fuzzies. And you have to have both of those things, the interaction between both of those things in order to have the best developmental outcomes for your kids. Now, if you are burned out, you are not parenting. You're not having those high expectations. And if you are burned out, chances are your warm and fuzzies are also going to go down. So then you start to enter into one of the other two or one of the other three parenting styles that are not associated with positive developmental outcomes. Then your child starts to show more temper tantrums. They start to show more disruptive behaviors. They are more likely to be rebellious. You're dinging your relationship with your child, which then you have to put more effort in to have a much more positive interaction. Same thing with your spouse. And so, like, if you are not taking the time to invest in yourself and giving yourself this parentcation or those 30 minutes a day, well, then it's going to have negative impacts on your child. It's digging the relationship, and they're probably going to lead more into costly, more behavior problems. That's the word I was looking for. Now, it's interesting that you brought up single parents, because in the book, I actually address this. And I'm like, hey, for all you single parents out there, I get it.
Yeah.
And for the last 2 months in January and February, I've been working with this group of single moms. And so they each got a copy of the book. And then for the first Thursday of the first 4 months of the year, they get to meet with me and have full access to me and ask questions. And one of the biggest things that keeps coming up is that these women think that they have to do it all by themselves.
Yeah.
And we're like, stop it. You can form a community. There's other parents out there. And so in the book, I talk about the parent exchange, like parentcation exchange program. Find another parent who you like and you don't mind their kids, where you get to take 24 hours to 48 hours and take a momcation or a dadcation. And they watch your child for them. And then you also schedule a time where then you take their kids and they get to have a parentcation. So then now it's like, then the kids, it's a sleepover. Kids love sleepovers.
Yeah.
And you just have to watch the kids, you know, you have extra kind of thing. But if you're watching two kids, what's another two or three kids? Like, you just put on some movies and you buy them some pizza and you make them some popcorn and hey, like, you give them some ice cream and you just have fun with them. You're not trying to, like, make them the next Albert Einstein, but then it's giving that other parent that break. And so I think if we start to rely on each other and realize that we're not in this alone, it's better off. So we've been really working on these moms, and we're like, make friends with other women in this group. And they're like, we don't trust them. And we're like, they're in the same room with you 4 times a year. Like, trust them, give them a shot, start small, build up that relationship. And the benefits will be astronomical for not only for those moms, but for the kids too.
Well, you know, when you were telling that, I was thinking about how this is not a new phenomenon, but the solutions are really tailored towards the culture and the world that we live in today. That 40 years ago, when people lived closer to where they grew up, where they, you know, they had family members that could do that. Because my first thought was, is that when my oldest was born, if my wife wanted to have a staycation or vacation for herself, a mom vacation, the best solution for the child may not have been staying with dad as much as it's been staying with grandma, you know, because grandma might have wanted that aspect of it. And
right.
So that kind of leads to another thing that I thought that I was thinking about too, is there a place for mom mentors in this whole process as well? Because, you know, in time past, when there was more staying close to where you were born, you did have a mom mentor. It was your mom who, for good or bad, was helping you or not helping. You know, they were providing input on this. But now, with so many people moving and you know, being out of the area that they grew in, is there a role for that? How can we engage in that? Didn't see us going in this direction, but it just popped in the head. So
yeah, I think that's an interesting concept. It's not one that I have heard a lot about. I think sometimes you fall into where my brain just went was like mom groups, right? And like mom groups can be good. And I've been having this conversation with one of my clients about like surrounding like AA and like NAMI and those kind of things. And my take on that is like in mom groups, right? I think mom groups are great if you are going to, if the main thing you're trying to get out of them is that support, like that sense of community. But if you are going to your mom group or your parenting group or whatever, and it's just other parents like trying to like teach you stuff, like that sometimes is not the best option because sometimes they're not giving you practical tips or they're not giving you like research-based things. So I remember there was this guy, and I won't say who his name is, but he's like an influencer on Instagram, and he was talking about marriage, and he was like, hey, marriages, let's talk about the 777 rule. And I was like, what's the 777 rule? And he was like, every 7 days you should go out on a date with your wife.
Oh yeah I've heard this
with your
before.
Spouse, yeah. Every 7 weeks, you should do an overnight with your spouse. And every 7 months, you should take a 7-day long vacation just with your spouse. And I was like, hold up. First of all, are we talking about millionaires here? Because who can take a date every 7 days? I can get behind. But like an overnight every 7 weeks and then a week-long vacation every 7 months, like who has that kind of money? Who has that kind of childcare? And who has that kind of vacation time? Like that kind, and I'm like, it's not even research-based. Like nowhere has it said like this will work. And so it's like those mom groups, again, are really, really good for that community, that sense of community. But I would be much more wary to kind of get actual like parenting advice and tips from those groups.
That's a great point. I've not heard it in, going back to that, I've not heard it as 7-7 heaven. I've heard it as 2-2-2, that every 2 weeks you do a date, every 2 months you go out for a night, and every 2 years you do a week away, which is a little bit
that
more.
That would make much more.
Because when you said every 7 months, a week away, I was the same way as you. I was like, that's almost twice a year.
Right. And who's taking care? I responded. I was like, wait. And someone was like, who's taking care of these babies? And I was like, yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was like. I was like, every 2 years, you know, that's feasible. That's very feasible.
Yeah.
And, you know, every 2 months, you know, a night away. And the person that I heard explain it was like, and it doesn't have to necessarily be you go somewhere away. It's just maybe the kids are at grandma's for the night.
Right.
Or, yeah. you know, you guys are, you go down to the hotel, down, you know, that's 5 minutes from your house for the night, you know, something that sets it apart. So I've heard it in that regard, but the one that you said when you said it, I was like, ooh, that is a little,
it's a little pricey.
Pricey and complicated. So tell us how our audience can engage with you and learn more about, you know, how to combat this. Because I hope we've stirred some interest, because I know I've taken a lot of notes. I've taken 2 pages of notes.
Oh, my goodness.
yeah, well, I wasn't ignoring you. I was writing notes.
I didn't think that you were ignoring me.
Well, the audience might think, oh, he's over there doodling again. So. But how can they engage with you to learn more about this concept? Because I can see, especially as you said, post-COVID, there is just such an awareness of burnout now. And I don't think it's getting any easier with as you said, you know, the expectations of what we're supposed to do are rising so much.
Yeah.
There's so much, and there's so many different ways for that. I mean, we could have a whole conversation about how these expectations are influenced by social media now more than they ever were just 2 decades ago.
Yeah.
And the responsibilities, as you said, are increasing because, you know, we got to take them everywhere. And there's that stuff. So how can they connect with you so that they can get help?
Yeah. So I think the best way to kind of connect with me, like if you actually want to like see what kind of content I'm putting out there, is LinkedIn, probably the place, the platform where I put the most stuff out. Obviously, you can go to that Amazon and purchase the number 2 parenting book, Practical Tips for the Pooped Out Parent, is another way. another way
I really love that title.
If you are a company and you are interested in having me come out and delivering a workshop around parental burnout or anything parenting or relationships or individual coping skills, mental health, would love that opportunity. I actually just booked a workshop for the Audaciously Imperfect up in Michigan for September. So they're booking far out now. So that's another option. And then actually, I'm pretty excited because probably within the next month or two, I'm actually going to start offering like a 3 or 4 month, I haven't decided yet, a group parenting coaching group. Parenting group. So like with that, you for a monthly fee, you would get like a monthly webinar or workshop with me. You would every week, you would get a weekly group coaching call. So like parents are again, sense of community. People can ask questions and I will answer it. So it's kind of like a mom group, but led by someone who actually has been in the trenches with parents and families for 20 years. And then every month you would get like one individual 60-minute phone call just with me. So that's going to kind of start to come out in the next month or two. So I'm pretty excited about that as well.
That is awesome. Do you do the 48 hours yourself?
I do. So I've been practicing it last 3 years. I've been doing it because it's something that I recommend to a lot of my clients, not just moms, but dads too. And so usually my momcations consist of my husband will take the kids a Friday night, usually sometime like in the fall months, and he'll take them to our place at the lake. And then I have 48 hours to do whatever I want. And usually it's like binge watching something on Netflix, like Dead to Me season 1 and 2. I think we're like my first and my second. Lincoln Lawyer on Netflix was my third one. I go for a hike. I go for a long bike ride. And this last one, I did a triathlon on Saturday morning. That was an experience. Yeah.
I'm anticipating some people that are listening going, that's not a vacation. That's work. What are you doing?
I combined it with like other stuff. I put it in the book. Like this last momcation was not the ideal momcation because it was like, I had like sat with like a neurologist, a clinical psychologist, and a geneticist for 3 hours on Friday. And then I did the triathlon on Saturday. And then I drove back home and I was relaxing and Saturday. The rest of Saturday was good. And then like Monday, my parents called and they're like, hey, I fell. I'm going to the hospital. And so then I spent the rest of my Sunday, the rest of my momcation in the hospital helping my mom and my dad. And I'm like, this is not a momcation. I need another one.
Well, I have loved this conversation.
Thank you.
And I'm sincere when I said, where were you 20 years ago with this? My wife would have gotten along a whole lot better and would be a whole lot better place probably now even than we were because we had built on a foundation that would have propelled us to a tighter, closer relationship family-wise later. So thank you for what you're doing, the information you're providing. And audience, if you are interested in any of the things that she just said, we're going to have those in the show notes. So if you are watching on YouTube, you know the drill, look down and you'll find it. If you're listening, just go to your favorite podcast app. It'll be in the show notes. The direct links will be there and you can connect immediately to them. So thank you again for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
It has been fun and a lot of good information. And audience, thank you for sticking with us. Listen, if you've stayed with us for this long, almost 35 minutes, you obviously have found some value in what you're listening to. And you know someone who needs this information. So please like and share, especially share.
Yeah.
Share this with your community as well. But like, share, and comment on this podcast on whatever app. And we'll see you again next week on the Generation Youth Podcast. And there you have it. Another impactful episode of the Generation Youth Podcast. To all of our listeners out there, remember to hit that subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform so you can never miss an episode. Want to be a part of the Generation Youth community? Follow us on all of our social media platforms. We'll keep you connected with all of our upcoming episodes and inspiring initiatives. You're not just a listener here, you're a catalyst for change. Together, we're building a future filled with promise, potential, and endless possibilities. This journey is just starting, so keep tuning in, keep growing, and let's continue uplifting our youth one episode at a time. Thank you for joining us today, and until next time, let's keep sparking inspiration and igniting the future.